Welcome to Open Mic with Mike, a show that is a voice of reason in a very confused world. Hello, I'm your host, Mike Crutchfield. And first, let me say thank you guys for checking out just my series on pornography. Thank you for those who listened to part one, those who checked out part two. I hope you enjoyed it. I got some questions about, hey, when you going to do this part three? What is part three going to be about? Because, like, you've painted out part one, what it is and what it does to us. And you told us how God felt about it. And I've been asked, what about those who have this struggle or addiction and trying to be free from it? You know, so what are some practical ways that we can just walk this out? And so I wouldn't leave you hanging, guys. So I'm right there with you. And so to conclude this series on pornography is this episode, this last part three, I just want to talk about just some biblical principles that you can use to overcome pornography. But see, the first thing one must do is, before I get to those five biblical principles, let me give you like the foundation. The first thing is we must repent. Ask God for forgiveness. You know, the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us. If we come and we confess our sins, that God, he will forgive us. And so we first must acknowledge the fact that it is wrong and that we have sinned. Not saying that we've made mistakes, not saying, you know, to downplay it, but it's a sin. And when we indulge in that, we're sinning against a holy God. And based on what we learned in part one and part two, I think we can all agree that it's offensive to God. So the first thing is repent. That's the first. That's like the foundation. And we're going to build everything on that. It's repent. Ask God for forgiveness and he will forgive. And so just some practical things. I found this article, Becoming Christians. And it was articles done by Joshua Fantato. I guess that's how you say his name. Sorry, Joshua, I'm mispronouncing your name. But he writes an article which I think is very simple. It's practical. I think it's powerful as well. There's just some things we can do just to overcome just the addiction. And let me say this. It does not mean that temptation will not be there. You will be tempted. It's what do we do to overcome the temptation? And I think a lot of times people think that just because you're free from something, you do these practical steps, that you'll never be tempted. That's not true. The reality is that we're always tempted. It's how do you counter that temptation? Even Jesus was tempted. And what Jesus did is that Jesus used the word to overcome temptation. And so there's some practical things. The first thing that that Josh says, he says, number one, avoid triggers. And some of these steps you've probably heard before, but we're just going to reintroduce them. But avoid triggers. Okay. We talked about in part two, I really, really screamed out 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And I think one of the perfect examples of someone of fleeing is Joseph. If you ever read the story of Joseph in the Bible, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. A story about a young man who's hated on by his brothers. His brothers sell him into slavery into Egypt. He goes in, he works for a guy named Potiphar. But Potiphar has a wife who's very lustful towards him. And she basically would like make advances to Joseph. And so one day Joseph is by himself doing what he's supposed to do, minding his own business, nothing that he walked into. You know, he purposely he didn't initiate this. But she sees Joseph. She tells Joseph, Joseph, come and lie with me. Basically, you know, Joseph, come get in the bed and let's get it on. But when Joseph was seduced by Potiphar's wife, he didn't just stand in the room or walk away, but rather Bible said he fled. He ran from the temptation. Why? Because sexual temptation is among the strongest impulses in our brain. So we need to proactively get away from pornography. Proactive. Not being idle. Not hoping that we'll be delivered. Not hoping that we won't fall into temptation. But we must be proactive. Proactive in getting away from pornography. The strongest way possible. Walking away is never enough. He says, We need to run and flee and not looking back. Kind of like how Lot's wife did. Don't look back. And so in Void and Stricken, there are some practical ways to apply this. He says first, so you guys, if you have a computer, if you have a phone, he says, place your computer in a room where everyone can see it. Like everybody has access. Don't have it in a secret place where you can lock the doors, but you have it in a place where everybody has access to it. Everybody can see it. Everybody can see the screen. He says, second, install anti-pornography software. There's one that's called K9 Web Protection, and it's a free one. I heard about this one. It's a good one. It gives you alerts. And actually, there's one, I think this is the one where actually they warn you, hey, you know, you look at something that you shouldn't be looking at. And so it's an anti-pornography software. Also, avoid places or situations that you know will lead you to temptation. You realize that we're a creature of habit. And there's certain places, certain things that we do in certain places. Did you realize that? Some people don't even think about that. I bet you anything, anyone has addiction to something. If you ask them, what place do you indulge in that addiction? And they could probably tell you. And so we must avoid, that's been proactive, avoid places or situations that you know will lead you into temptation. That you know that are certain places in your house that you know that you would watch porn. Avoid it. He says, destroy or eliminate pornographic materials in your possession. This is how you avoid triggers. He didn't say erase. He said destroy or eliminate pornographic materials in your possession. If you have magazines, burn them. If you have things on your phone you should have, take them off. Use that K9 web protection. If there's things in there that trigger you, if you just got to take a break from social media, Instagram, Snapchat, certain people that you need to stop following, that they post pictures of their body, certain women, certain guys that you need to stop following. Eliminate the material. That's something that you can control. That's something I always tell my son and my daughter when I try to chastise them, so to speak. I tell them, why are you getting upset with something that you can control? You can control your reaction. You can control putting yourself in position to getting in trouble. You can control that. So don't get upset at me when I come and confront you. If you can't control it, that's different. A lot of times we get mad and frustrated at things that we can control. You can control going into that room at a certain time. You can control clicking that. By what? Unfriending. Uninstall. You can control that. The second thing, practical step, he says, don't be too confident. Ooh, and that's probably talking to me. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Wow. You know, I said this one time to a friend of mine. He kind of looked at me weird. I said, you know what, man? I don't even trust myself. And honestly, guys, I don't. That's why I need to always put my faith in God, because I don't trust myself. Because I'm human. I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. Which means I have the possibility every day to sin. Every day to make the wrong decision. Every day to do what I shouldn't do. So therefore, I refuse to walk in a sense of pride. I walk in humility. If you think you're too strong for any sexual temptation, you better think twice. The Bible tells us that we need to stand our ground if we don't want to fall in temptation. Therefore, we need to get out of the sexual tempting situation the minute we see the first sign. Don't wait until it's too late. You can't play with fire. Well, you know what? It's not really a sexual act. It's just really showing a cleavage. Certain things you see probably couldn't watch on TV. Well, it's not really porn. I know they're not really having sex on the movie. They're just portraying like they are. And that's you becoming too confident thinking, oh, well, it's not really porn. It's just kind of like pornographic. Oh, my favorite word, it's soft porn. That's kind of like, I'm kind of drunk, but I'm not drunk. Word. I'm a little high, but I'm not high. Really? No, it's either you're high or you're drunk. It's one of the two. So either is pornographic or porn, guess what? The root word is still porn. So don't be too confident thinking that you can that you can do it yourself. Don't think that you've overcome it that much. You got that so much control that you let your guard down. Then he says three, my favorite, make yourself accountable to others. Wow. James 5 and 16 says this, confess your trespasses. One version says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's nothing like holding on to some guilt that you don't confess and that you've become sick. You're spiritually sick. You're mentally sick. You're emotionally sick, and you need to be healed. And the only way to be healed, man, you must confess that sin. Confess where maybe you stumbled. Confess that you have an addiction. Confess that you slipped up and watched what you shouldn't watch. Confess it. I say confess it. Confess it. Watching porn is very convenient. Oh, man. He says, and we can enjoy doing it in the privacy of our own homes. In most cases, this type of sin is a private sin, and telling other people about it can be very challenging. We have so much access. See, longer the days you had to go sneak and go to the dirty store, you know, at midnight, go, you know, put your fake mustache on your eyes, go in and buy that dirty VHS, then go back to your car and then drive to your house, pull all the blinds down, make sure nobody see you. It's so prevalent and evident to where you don't even have to do that. It's right at the tip of your finger, right at the push of your thumb. To where nobody knows, nobody sees. I don't really have to be held accountable. But if you want to walk in freedom, not being overcome by addiction to anything, but we focusing on porn, you got to be held accountable. We have to have people in life to hold us accountable. Who is it in your life? Well, it's just me and God. And you know what? You're right. You totally right. But if God just wanted to be about you and him, then he wouldn't have it in James 5 and 16 that says, confess your sins to one another. And we're not talking about going to the priest, confessing your sins. He's not talking about that. He's saying to those people in your life that can hold you accountable so that you might be healed. He says, as this might be the case, that it's also the most efficient way to overcome this problem. When you recognize your problem, accept it and seek the support and help of other people, you will have an increased chance of being victorious. Don't be singing the war with me. Oh my God, I'm so tired of being I'm so tired of being addicted. I need help. Here's my question. Who's holding you accountable? Who is it in your life right now that you can go to or can come to you and say, you know what? You need to turn that off. Matter of fact, give me access to passwords to your stuff so I can make sure that you can be held accountable. See, everybody want their privacy. We all want privacy, right? But there's certain things, there's one thing being private and being secretive. There's a difference. And if there's nobody in your life to hold you accountable, that's not being private. You just want to be secretive. And you find yourself falling even deeper and deeper and deeper into the addiction of porn, knowing the effects that it's doing on you psychologically, physically, emotionally, and then what it's doing to you spiritually. Because we talked about in part two that you can't inherit the kingdom of God if you're indulging in this sin. Now notice I said sin. Now, a lot of people, there are some Christians who still struggle with it. They're not bound, but they struggle with it. So whether you're Christian or not, there are some practical steps that you need to take in any addiction. He goes on to say, it's important that you have someone who will hold you accountable for your actions. It is advisable that that person should be someone you respect and trust. Now, you just can't have anybody holding you accountable. You can have somebody that's still struggling with it hold you accountable. That's like an alcoholic being held accountable by an alcoholic. That's like a drug user being held accountable by somebody that's still hooked on drugs. Now, what kind of sense does that make? None at all. So you can ask like a pastor, spiritual leader, elder, parent, spouse, friends. just somebody in your life. And I think this is probably one of the most important, holding you accountable, confessing the struggle to someone that you can trust. So you get forgiveness from God, but healing comes through people. That's why James said, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It comes to the relationship with people, holding each other accountable with this. Number four, pray to God. Now, honestly, that should be number one. So we ain't going in any order, but I technically would have put that number one. Pray to God. Again, James 5:16, he says, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Check this out. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Praying to the one who made you. Remember I talked about in part two that we're made in God's image and we reflect him. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. So why not put my hope and my prayer to the one who made me? That's something that we don't do a lot. And prayer shouldn't be our last option. Matter of fact, I should have put this first. Prayer shouldn't be our last option. Well, when I finally prayed. No, it should be our first option. Run to God. Ask God. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. And then ask God to show you and guide you in what you need to do. And then when he does it, do it. The guy goes on to say, Joshua goes on to say, the pornography addiction can be considered a mental disease, can be considered as a mental disease. And like any other disease, it has many detrimental effects on your life. We need to recognize that if we are going to overcome pornography, everybody with me, I'm saying we, addiction, it will be through the power of God. It's God who has the power. It's him. He's the one that made us. We didn't make ourselves. Therefore, it's crucial that we pray to him. When we feel the urge to want to watch porn, he says, bend your knees and put your hands together. Pray to God to give you the necessary strength to overcome this dreadful sin. God is able and is more than willing to help you. He is just one prayer away. I love how he just said, overcome this dreadful sin. Because that's how God sees it, as a sin. And the last one, develop godly habits. Ephesians 4:22-24 says this. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, he said, habits are not eliminated, but rather they are replaced. For this reason, if you want to overcome pornography, you need to replace this bad habit with a good habit. Keep yourself busy. Spend your extra energy to more profitable, meaningful, and godly activities. Don't let yourself get bored. Remember that an idle man is a devil's playground. Ooh, keep yourself company with other godly individuals. Commit more time to reading God's word and doing his work. In other words, when you feel that urge, open your Bible. You feel that urge, pray. Or find another hobby you used to do. Something to replace that. Because a habit's not eliminated. You're going to have a habit. You just replace that habit with something else. Why is that? Why is it imperative and important that we use these practical steps? Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. In other words, no matter your issue, no matter the sin that's in your life, no matter the addiction, that God is faithful to always give you a means of escape. The reality and the problem is that we don't walk through the door of escape because we lean on our own power and our own will, and we fall deeper and deeper into addiction. And to get out of that, we must lean on God. We must open our eyes and see the way of escape, and we go and we flee and we run from the temptation so we can no longer be controlled and bound by pornography. And once we're free, you can go and help somebody else to be freed from it. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Hopefully it blessed you. This is Open Mic with Mike, a show that is a voice of reason in a very confused world. Please push it out. Get us to a friend. Let's free people from the control of pornography. God bless you. Talk to you guys later.